deli owners and like everything like that, and it was great. Growing up in this city was fucking phenomenal. Love it. And I'm very prideful about that, because it's almost as if nowadays most people have moved here at a certain age, but like, I'm born and raised here, so I'm like, yo, what's good? I was born and raised here. But yeah, so you know, that's something on my sixth step, you know, check off. But anyway, so however, always in the back of my mind had this thing of, I want to be a part of something. I want to be included in a circle of friends. But even though I was, and that's the alcoholic insanity, I focused on the people that I wasn't friends with rather than the friends that I had. And I had a bunch of friends. I grew up on a block where I knew everybody. We went to the same elementary school, PS40. We went to the same middle school, fucking MS104. And then I went to the same high school, which was a high school for environmental studies. So, like, there we go. And it was great. But growing up, I felt that I was different. And I felt that I was different because at a young age, I was diagnosed with this, like, thing called, like, ADHD. And I'm an extremely hyperactive kid, very bouncing off the walls. I got into trouble all the fucking time. Principal's office, he had my mom on speed dial. It was like very, very bad. I was in trouble constantly, always attention seeking, always the class clown, always like, you know, and like for like a 7-year-old boy, like I thought I was the shit, but like, you know, like all of these other outside sources, going into hospitals, being evaluated, giving different pills to solve my problems, you know, like all this stuff at young ages. Ritalin, Concerta, Adderall, Adderall XR. I don't even know the fucking difference, but apparently there is one. And, you know, like just the list goes on. So, like, going on all these pills, and I would have to, during recess, go into the nurse's office with the kid who had, he had something, I don't know what it was, but he had something, and it was visible, and shit, that's really bad. Why the fuck am I laughing? It's terrible, 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 man. Yeah, so I went, that separated me, and ever since that happened, and ever since kids started to grow up around second, third grade, start to group people, I'm into categories. TV shows like Sesame Street teach kids how to do that. They teach kids how to label people, how to split people into groups. And I was split into a group of somebody that didn't fit in. And then with kids, I work with kids now. So as soon as one kid, you know, like starts making fun of somebody, it like becomes like a trend. And then like that person is like, you know, like they're like ridiculed for a while. So elementary school for me going up from second grade on was terrible. It was fucking horrible. I would get in trouble all the time, didn't fit in. My friends from my block didn't want to hang out with me anymore because I wasn't cool, quote unquote. And like, then that was elementary school. And that really set a tone for me for the rest of my life. Come like middle school type area, still, you know, like doing my own thing, very awkward. And yeah, I was just fucking middle school, you know. But I would always hang out in Tompkins Square Park. I would skateboard there. I would hang out there a lot. Those are my stomping grounds. I'm everywhere from 14th Street down to Houston, from First Ave to Avenue C. I knew like the back of my hand. I knew every single niche, alleyway, garden, on accessible rooftop, like all of that stuff. And like that was my shit. Like that was my thing. And even before I was using drugs. But then I applied that knowledge to drug use, hence falling into a downward spiral, which I'll get into later. But so I'm hanging out in the park, maybe about 10 years old, and I would skate and, you know, like ride BMX and, you know, like all this stuff with all these kids who were significantly older than me. And my parents and my relationship, extremely dysfunctional. There was a point in time where my mom gave up. My dad was living in Brooklyn. I didn't really see him that much. And my mom essentially told me when I was about 9 or 10 years old that she gives up. She doesn't want to have to deal with me anymore. I'm on my own. She would give me $5 in the morning and then say, go off to school and I don't want you to be home until 6 o'clock. So on those days where my friends wouldn't be able to hang out with me, I would just like walk around like the LES and like just like skate in parks and hang out with kids that were like outside, which were significantly older. And I want to say that they took me under their wing, but they didn't. It was kind of like a thing of a bunch of kids drinking and smoking, you know, like doing drugs in the park. And then it's like, oh, look at this little kid who's chilling with us. Isn't this funny? And but I thought I was the man. So I decided, you know, like I'm gonna try this like marijuana thing. And before this, I drank before. My dad had given me beers. My mom would give me the cherries off her little things, and like just like soaked in alcohol. And I was like, dude, I feel like such an adult right now. When my dad would have parties at his house with all of his, you know, like people that used to be in bands with him and like people that like used to hang out with a lot, like they'd come over, like they'd get drunk, and my dad would give me like a couple sips of a beer, and I thought I was a shit. So hanging out in the park with these kids that are much older than me, smoked weed, and I didn't get high, but I was high on the fact that I was literally in a circle of people sitting on the ground of the basketball courts on 10th Street and Avenue A, and I thought I was the fucking man, and I had arrived, and I wasn't even high yet. I just loved the fact that I was with people, and then kept doing that, and I was addicted to the feeling of, you know, like having friends, and started to get high, and I felt it eventually. So then I went back to my old friends on the block, who I still saw on occasion, and I was like, dude, well, I smoke weed now, bro, so, like, you guys don't even know it's good, and, like, and then, so we all started smoking weed, and, we were very, very young, like, 11, 12, like, around there is when, like, all of my friends and me started, like, doing drugs, you know, like, drinking and stuff, so, smoking weed, and then after a while, I was like, okay, they would send in people to my middle school and send in people to my elementary school to basically to lecture us on how marijuana is a gateway drug, you know, and it's okay, but, and it's natural, but it will lead you to do other things. And I'm like, I don't know about that shit, like, that's fucked up, it's not true, you know, but it is true. I don't care what anybody says, marijuana is a goddamn gateway drug, it is, for me, okay, and, before I knew it, I was, you know, like, trying to get higher, wanted something different, tried mushrooms, absolutely loved it. Then I went on a friend of mine who was a 40-year-old Asian man who lived on 4th Street in Avenue. I'll go to his house, and then I would buy drugs from him, and then one day he had a drug called like LSD. So I was like, dude, I am like gonna try that. I didn't leave his house for about 3 days, and it was the best. Later, I like smoked peyote. I tried a bunch of different other drugs. I've tried at least everything, but there's a difference between trying and doing. I've tried a bunch of drugs. I only consistently did hallucinogens because that was, I loved getting out of myself physically because I would, you know, like feel different, and especially mentally. All of those thoughts in my mind of how I don't fit in, like all of my struggles at home, all of my struggles with my mom. My mother is extremely mentally ill. And it's like being able to go out of my house and not go, and then go back into my house physically, but not mentally. And that was the thing for me that made me stick to it. I was like, this is a way out of my issues. And it evolved. My disease progressed extremely, extremely fast. I went from getting high in the park, you know, like smoking like a little weed, like most 12-year-olds, because most 12-year-olds don't do that. But, you know, like, what would be normal to a normal person, you know, turned into something that wasn't good at all. All of my friends who were already out of their goddamn minds were telling me, dude, you have some issues, like, you should stop. I was getting high by myself. I would scheme so hard. I would scheme so goddamn hard. Like, I would walk, like, across town in, like, a rainstorm with no jacket because I sold my jacket to get angel dust. And then, like, I would, like, just do all this shit, go to great lengths, the greatest of lengths, just to get, like, $5. Like, just all this shit, like, anything that I would gain, it was, like, that was an addiction. And I have an addictive personality. There's so many things I'm addicted to. Pretty much, everything that I like, I use up until I can't use it anymore, or until I'm dead, or until I'm dying, or until there's literally nothing left. Like, when I was a kid, I fucking loved Legos. I got Legos every goddamn Christmas until I was 11. And then, like, you know, like, everything like that. Loved it. I love stealing things. I absolutely love stealing things. Because you get it for free. And then, like, you know, it's, like, it was the best thing on earth. And, like, it was so good. I didn't get any consequences for my actions right up until I got sent away. There were times where I would run from the police. I would always get away. I would always be the one to only get away because I was really small and I looked like a 5-year-old. You know, like, I'm completely serious. I would run away from the cops and I would round the corner and I would go into a Starbucks and they would come in and, like, look at me and, like, be like, nah, nah, nah. Like, and, like, then, like, just keep going. And that made me, that really built up an ego for me. I felt invincible. I thought that I could do whatever I wanted. And my life progressed into, I was absolutely miserable after a certain point. There was a point where things at home were so bad that my mom kicked me out of my house. This was right before my freshman year of high school, right before the summer. So my mom kicked me out, and I couldn't live with my dad. There wasn't enough space, and I've recently come to the acceptance, and I talked with him about this, that at the time he just straight up did not trust me and did not want me living in his house, which has been hard for me to accept, but that's just the way it is. I would do many, many a thing for money. I took my dad's jewelry, which belonged to his grandmother, pawned that shit. I would take jewelry from my mom, that was my other grandmother's, and I would sell that. And I would go into people's houses that were my friends because I knew that their doors were open. And I would go into their house and I would just take everything that wasn't bolted down. And then I would help them post up signs to try to find the people that did it. And, like, I was a really, really sick individual. Like, extremely. Like, just like most of us. Well, I'm actually going to speak for myself on this one, you know, because I don't want to violate anybody. But, you know, we all share one thing, and that is alcoholism. And that could mean many, many different things. You know, drugs and alcohol do are just a symptom. But I know for myself that it led me into places that I really desperately did not want to be in. I was completely miserable. When I hit my bottom was I'm allowed back into my mother's house. And then I quite frankly didn't even want to go back to my mother's house because it was absolutely terrible. She is a paranoid schizophrenic. She's out of her goddamn mind. And she's nuts. So going back there, I did not want to do that. So I was homeless for a while, for about 3-4 months. And I would just sit in the park all day, like with my friends who were also homeless, who were also going through very similar things. And I would sit in the park and I would do nothing. And I would get high and I would scrounge for money. And I would like do really weird things to get like money. And just so I could like support my habit. I was selling drugs at one point. I was so stupid that like I would just carry like a lot of fucking drugs, like just in my backpack, like obscene amounts of acid tablets, like retarded amounts of shrooms, and that like I could be put in jail for a very, very, very long time. And the reason why I did that was because like A, I was fucking crazy and I would do like absolutely anything for money. But you look at me and then like most people would assume like, dude, this kid is like fucking like 4 feet tall. Like what the hell is he doing? Like, you know, doing that. These drug dealers like from my school, you know, like they didn't care what I looked like. They were just like, this kid is dumb enough to hold this stuff and transport it from point A to point B. Let's fucking do it. So like, that's what I did. And like that was an outlet for money. So there was like a lot of different ways, you know, that I would like try to come into money. But like that doesn't even matter at this point. But hit my bottom. Was raining that night. I don't remember the exact date. It was sometime in September. It was raining. I had recently like stepped in like fucking dog shit, and I was sitting Indian style, and I didn't notice that I sat in, that I fucking stepped in dog shit. So my fucking pants were covered in fucking dog shit. I was just like basically literally in shit. It was raining, and I had like. Just like I had like a little bit of drugs and like just like a bunch of different ones, you know, like marijuana and stuff. And like I was trying to do that and my fucking match wouldn't light. And it seems like it's not that big of a deal. But like in the moment, I was just like, I want to fucking die. Like I want to be dead. Why can't God just fucking kill me? Like I'm so useless right now. And I reminisced about all the horrible things that I've done to my friends, my family, and even myself to fucking get what I wanted. And I just started crying. And that was the first time that I legitimately cried in a very long time because I was trained by a couple of male figures in my life that aren't the best male figures to have in one's life, that crying is not okay, having emotions is not okay, being real is not okay. And because of this meeting and because of Alcoholics Anonymous, it fucking is okay. Like I could, you know, like I could go and I could have a really good conversation with a friend, a close friend. Yo, dude, I could cry, man. And like it's the fucking shit. Crying is the bomb. And it's great. So feeling terrible, and I specifically remember I'm asking God to A, kill me, but also B, please take this away from me, whatever this is, please make my life better. And I was not going to school at all. I went for a couple of weeks freshman year, and like I just stopped going because like why the fuck would I go to school, dude? Like I'm like selling drugs, I'm making money, and I'm getting high all the time. Why do I need to go to school? Fuck that shit. So my dad gave me a call one day, and he said, "Will, I want you to go back to your mother's house tonight." And I'm like, "Dude, I haven't been there in like 4 or 5 months. Why the fuck would I go back?" He's like, "Go back. Like, let us get you some new clothes. All right, we're going to try to get everything back on deck." So I said, okay. Went back. He said, "Well, my dad was at my mom's house, which is insane. I was not expecting that. So I knew this shit was real." And they both sat me down and they said, "Will, you have to stop what you're doing. And you need to start going to school." They knew I was doing drugs, but like they didn't know the extent of it. And they didn't know that for a while until I got honest with them. And that was extremely detrimental for them. But it doesn't matter. So my dad sat me down and he told me, "Will, if you don't straighten yourself out, start going to class, start doing your thing, then we're going to have to like intervene." Okay? And he said the word intervene. So that could have meant like anything, you know. And this was a day before Halloween on 2008. So that would be, what month is Halloween in? Yeah? Okay. Well, it would be October 30th of 2008. Thank you, sir. So that Friday was Halloween. Halloween was on a Friday night that year. So I was like, "I'm going out tonight. I'm going in. I'm going to go and go crazy." And that's what I did. Didn't go to class. I got a call from my dad. He said, "Will, you didn't go to class today." And I'm just like, "Dude, I haven't been to class in like fucking mad months, dude. Fuck you, bro." So I didn't go to class. And then he said, "Have a nice weekend. And come home. I want you to sleep at your mom's house." So I was like, "Okay, fuck it." So I would sleep at my mom's house. So Halloween was there, and that's a story all in itself. I don't remember. I still hear stories to this day about what I fucking did that night, and I don't even want to get into that. So weekend came, Saturday, Sunday. Monday morning, I believe, at 3 or 4 in the morning. It might have been Monday morning or Sunday morning, but I know that it was November 3rd of 2008. Good looks. And it was November 3rd, 2008. And I woke up that morning to a giant black male shaking my foot. And previously I heard the door, you know, rattle. I had a dog at the time. That's another story. Basically, you know, like going crazy in his cage. And my mom was crying. This man came into my house and he said, "Will, please, you know, like, what the fuck did he say?" He was like, "Get up, time to go. You go the easy way or the hard way." I was like, "I'll go the easy way because you're really large." And he's like, So I rustled around and I made a move for my pants. And in my pants, I had something that would prevent me from getting caught. I was planning on taking myself hostage. And I didn't get to do that because he stepped on my hand. And he said, "Okay, chill with that." And they handcuffed me. And they carried me out of the room in like a coffin style. Like, I was like this. And my mom was crying hysterically. I don't know where my brother was. I don't remember. And they told me to say goodbye to my mom. And I spat in her face. And I said, "Fuck you. Look what you've done." And it was fucking embarrassing. And they put me in the back of a van. And I fell asleep. And I woke up. And I was thinking, how could I ski my way out of this one? I know. I will pretend like I'm all good and like gung-ho about, you know, like getting better. Because I obviously knew what it was. I was a fucked up kid, you know. Like getting thrown into the back of a van at 4 a.m. by 2 big, large men. You know, like it's definitely like not a thing that most, you know, like fucking 15-year-olds go through. So I did that. And then they were like, "Yeah, man, you know, we're going to a place. There's going to be girls and paintball guns and go-karts. It's going to be awesome." All right, yo. So I'm like, "Yeah, yo, like fucking like, let's do this shit." I'm getting mad hype. I'm like, "Yeah." And I go and the car turns around. Big black fence. I'm just like, "Oh, shit." We go. I get intaked into Adirondack Leadership Expeditions. That was a wilderness program. I clocked in at 70 pounds. I was a foot shorter than I am now, extremely unhealthy. That program helped me to get physically healthy. Detoxing there from pills and just all this shit, atrocious. Try fucking, you know, like going through all this shit and like vomiting and all this stuff like on a tarp in the middle of the woods in the Adirondacks in the wintertime. It was fucking horrible. So I got healthy, hiked every day. They said that I was gonna go home. My parents came and they picked me up after 78 days. Went to the nearest town, slept over at a hotel. Dude shakes my leg in the morning, say, "Hey, man, we gotta go." I'm just like, fuck, okay, whatever. So they take me to another treatment center, they said this is an 18-month minimum stay. I ended up being there for 23 and a half months because I didn't do a single goddamn thing. Didn't do anything. So finally got out of there June 2010. And as of right now, I remember June 2010, the day I got out. No, yes, I think so, maybe. The day I got out, I went to a meeting, and I was like, look, I have to try this out. So I let AA scoop me up. I got people's numbers, made friends, talked to people, made calls, did my thing, and hung out, and made friends, and came into these rooms, threw myself at you guys. I went to meetings all of the time, pretty much all the time, got enrolled in an outpatient program, you know, like that was the best because that forced me to have friends, but it also forced me to be with people that were sober and to, you know, like go to meetings with, which was great. So, got sent to the outpatient, went to meetings, doing my thing for a couple of years. I was doing the 1-2-step for a while. I was on my first step, second step, all of the time. Didn't really get it until about a year ago. And that's when I realized that I need to get a sponsor who is not my best friend. And I need to get a sponsor who can really take me through these steps and really kick my ass. Because that's what I fucking need. And where I'm at right now today, from being homeless in a park, fucking sitting in shit, is I am a chemistry major at John Jay College. I have a job. I go to meetings every day. I have a sponsee who can sponsor. I can sponsor. I have friends that care about me. It's just like I am so happy, and I put a lot of emphasis on the steps. The steps work. If you're coming to meetings and if you're not doing steps, like, you know, you could be here and you could see that it works for other people, but like the steps are there for like a reason, you know. Like you see all these people that are all happy, smiley, like, you know, like, I go to meetings and I pray and all this stuff and everything is great and everything is happy. Okay, but like, you know, like I've talked to these people, I'm friends with a lot of these people, and they don't do step work as far as my thing. So that is a very controversial subject, and I'm sure that someone's going to come up to me after the meeting and tell me about that. But the steps work. And I have done them. And I recently did my only honest fifth step in my entire fucking life. And that feels amazing, being able to completely expose myself. And how much time? Yeah, I'm like completely over time, aren't I?
A little bit.
Okay. Please excuse my filibuster. But to the newcomer, keep coming here. It works. It works if you work it, and it only works if you work it, because showing up here is not good. You know, it started working for me when I stopped sitting in the back, when I sat close to the front, and called my sponsor and everything like that. So, that's pretty much it. Thanks.